Today's reading is from John 15, verses 1 to 17, on page 138 of the New Testament section of the Church Bibles. Jesus, the real vine. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire where they're burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another, just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This, then, is what I command you. Love one another. Amen.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Much of the modern debate on how one grows spiritually or how one finds oneself has led to a modern way of thinking of faith in individualistic terms as opposed to that of community. But we must remember that a call to follow Jesus Christ is the call to be part of the body of Christ. I've met so many people in my life who have said to me, I don't need to go to church to follow Jesus. And I want to say to them, but you are the church. And you need to be connected to the body of Christ to be effective in the work that we're called to do. Peter challenges us in one of his letters saying, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. And we have the image of Pentecost of the disciples standing with Peter as he preached. And our reading today brings us a powerful image of the vine and the branches. The branches can only exist or bear fruit if they are connected through the vine. One of my great delights over recent years is just outside my front door, to the left as you face it, is a vine. And every year for the past 3 years, I have had bunches of grapes. They're small, the skin is tough, but the inside is incredibly sweet. It was G.K. Chesterton who once wrote, "A man can no more possess a private religion than he can possess a private sun or moon." In being centered on oneself, One no longer draws from the vine to produce much fruit, but we then seek ways to be comforted. The danger is, instead of looking how we can be part of the body, how we can bear fruit, we look for what fulfills our needs. The danger of seeing the church as existing for its members instead of its members existing to serve the world. We think too much like consumers, putting ourselves first. We do it all the time. Move to a new place, and what will you do? Like a consumer, you will look at all the church's websites, and then you'll go to one church, and then another, and check them all out. Does this suit me? But perhaps we ought to be saying, is this the place that God has called me to be in the life of this community? The church is not a theme park. There is a danger of rating everything in terms of entertainment value. Was the service good this morning? Did I feel entertained by Sam or not? Did he send me to sleep? The measure of worship is not what did I enjoy or even what did I experience, but what was I inspired to seek and do when I left? The measure of stewardship is not what did I receive for my gift and my time, but what did I do for others and how did that show something of God's glory, even for the least of these, my sisters and brothers. There was once a sign put up, horses for everyone, it said, and in small print underneath it read, skinny horses for skinny people. For fat people, there are fat horses. For disabled people, there are disabled horses. And for people who've never ridden horses, we have horses that have never been ridden. The risk is we choose our source of power and peace from Christ by trying to make everything fit the individual. The true measure of church is not our market share. It is about trying to fit the gospel. It's not about trying to fit the gospel into our around our culture. I have known people that talk about building new buildings of churches, who have argued for the church no longer looking like a sanctuary, that perhaps it should look like more like an office building because that would make it more comfortable for people to come inside. While we have to find ways to make it more comfortable for others to come into church, it's not by changing the demands and expectations of the good news of Jesus. There's a danger of believing the philosophy of giving the customer what they want. It's as though they're all connoisseurs of worship out there. All around Khan, there are connoisseurs of worship who one day will say, ah, do you know, at the Baptist church, they've got it right. They've just started lighting candles, and so we're going to go and join them. Jesus challenges us, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself until it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. When we lose the vision to make disciples of Jesus Christ, we stop bearing the fruit of the vine and turn inward on ourselves and cease to be the church that God is calling us to be. Somebody once said, Most people talk of cream, but live on skimmed milk. Be honest. We might sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, but often we live as if we're friendless. We might sing about leaning on the everlasting arms of God, but we feel we're about to fall apart. Do we really believe that Jesus is with us? And we are with him, that we can pass through the dark valleys of life, face up to our demons and feel secure? because we know we're part of his body and his people. We can live this way because he abides in us. His promise that we might abide in him and he in us assures us that we do not have to be alone. There was a young father who was struggling the day of his wife's funeral, trying to put his son to bed. Both were numb with sorrow. And the little boy asked, "Daddy, where is Mummy?" He tried to answer the question, but the little boy kept asking, "Where is Mummy? When's she coming back?" After many attempts to satisfy his son, the father picked the little boy up and put him in his own bed. Finally, the little boy reached out his hand through the darkness and placed it on his father's face, asking, "Daddy, is your face toward me?" Given assurance, he said, "If your face is toward me, then I think I can go to sleep." The father lay beside the young son and prayed, "O God, the way is dark, and I do not see my way through it now. But if your face is toward me, somehow I think I can make it." That's what it means to know that we can abide in him and he in us. This awareness transforms the very community of the church. With his power as the vine, we, the branches, are joined together. We are one in his love. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, once wrote, "Love is the binding power that holds the whole Christian body together. The tendency of any body of people is sooner or later to fly apart. But love is the one bond that will hold them together in unbreakable fellowship." When we know that we're not alone, what does that mean regarding the way we live? For one thing, to believe we're a part of the mission and ministry of Jesus and living in his love gives each of us a new way of living. What seemed impossible by our own limited strength and vision is now possible through his mercy and grace and the love and care of those joined with us in the body of Christ. Sheila Cassidy, in her book Audacity to Believe, tells of being arrested in Chile on trumped-up charges about treating a wounded revolutionary. She was arrested and held without trial, but held in a detention camp. She was finally found guilty of a minor violation, but was still held. And she was given a copy of the New Testament by a doctor. And leafing through it, she came to that passage in Romans where Paul asks, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No. "In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Sheila Cassidy wrote, "Incredibly, in the midst of fear and loneliness, I was lifted with joy, for I knew without any vestige of doubt that God was with me and that nothing they could do would change that." I said last week that I'd been reading about Martin Luther King Jr. and in his book, The Strength to Love, he tells of a particular tension-packed week that included his arrest and threats on his life. He spoke at a mass meeting, and at the end of the meeting, a woman came to him in front of the church and said, something is wrong with you. You didn't talk strong tonight. No, nothing's wrong, replied King. Now you don't fool me, I done told you. We are with you all the way, and even if we ain't with you, God gonna take care of you. And King writes that though many hard times that followed those words, it was in those times that her words came back. God's gonna take care of you. And it gave him the power to continue. The challenge is to give that power to ourselves, to bear the fruit that our reading speaks of. For Christ calls us for a purpose. The invitation to abide is not self-serving. It is not to be free of the world, but free to be in the world. It is not to be rewarded, but to be able to contribute. To truly believe in Christ calls for us to bear fruit. It is then that we get past the idea of control and able to share. It is then we begin to realize what it means to abide in his presence. The psychiatrist Scott Peck, writing in his book, The Different Drum, tells a story that he entitles The Rabbi's Gift. A monastery had fallen on hard times. There were only 5 monks left. And in desperation, the abbot went to a neighboring rabbi for advice. The rabbi said, I have no advice to give you, really. The only thing I can tell you is that one of you could well be the Messiah. The abbot brought this thought back, but he said he really didn't know what to make of it. And in the months that followed, they pondered that thought. But without realizing, they began to treat each other differently. There was a new sense of love and respect. Others were attracted to their order. The monastery took on a new life. It makes a difference in our relationship with others who follow Jesus when we see that he abides in them as he abides in us. You might question, did I hear that verse right? I will get whatever I wish. Yes, if we abide in him, it will radically change who we are and what we wish for. Our faith is based on the depth of his love, the promise of his presence, the knowledge that we're not alone. Not only not alone in the sense that we have each other, but more importantly, that each of us and all of us abide in him. Therefore, we can give to the world with great strength as we draw from his power and presence within us. The value is in being part of the vine that is the body of Christ. The wood of the branches is useless. Ezekiel pointed out that one cannot even make a tent peg out of it. The fire it would create is of no value. The branch is useless unless it bears fruit. Let's be honest. We all long for a sense of belonging, a place. And to find that place to belong is particularly hard in an ever-changing culture that is ours. Most of us have moved from where we originally came from. Anybody originally come from Calm? No, I didn't think so. And if you went back to where you came from, you would discover that much of that has moved on to you. To be part of the church becomes the place where we can be rooted, where we can feel a part. The giant sequoia trees, or redwoods as they're called, brought to these shores by the Victorians, can measure hundreds of feet in height and 10 or more feet in circumference, and thousands of years in age. Yet sequoias have very shallow root systems. And the way they withstand the winds and the stress of so many years is they intertwine their roots with others. I love that. Thus drawing their strength from each other. The challenge for us is to practice that. As one commentator writes, the failure of Christianity is not the failure of intellectual understanding, but a failure to establish its vision of human community. This we do when we abide in him and he in us. We must be open to his guidance. But to abide in Christ, the church must be willing to be cut and pruned by Christ. Sometimes a congregation's most painful moments are the times when they are driven closest to God. Adversity is often the window of opportunity for change. Few people or organizations want to change when there is prosperity and peace. Major changes are often started through necessity. Perhaps that's where we are as we seek together to discern what kind of church God is calling us to be. And over recent weeks, I've wondered why over the last year or so, things have started to change amongst us. We will have welcomed into membership soon something like 14 new people in just over a year. We've had two baptisms, and there are others who I'm having conversations with about being baptized. And I've asked myself why that is. Because I want to define it. I'd like to bottle it. And then I could write the book and go to conferences and tell them what it is that we did that made the difference. But people didn't come here because they knew we'd got lots of money in the bank. I can only think that a year ago, we sold a field. And in the selling of the field, we opened ourselves up to the possibility that God wanted us to be different. We needed him as we move forward into the future. To be attentive to the guiding of his Spirit. And in doing that, God said, at last, now you're ready for what I have in store for you. When we abide in Christ, we find the strength of this community around us. We learn of the need to be part of something more than just ourselves. We learn to love by the love we're given. God intended us to live in a caring community of the church. We're called to faith in Christ as part of a larger community, a family created by those who abide in Christ. And we're connected in and through Christ, joined together by our shared love of him. Challenged together to bear fruit for his love in the world. Amen. Let's pray together for a moment. Great God, we pray that you might enable us to truly abide in you, to rest in your provision and love. And we pray that as individuals and as a community, we might not only bear fruit, but bear much fruit for your glory. May we not be a branch that is barren, a branch that is thrown into the fire, but a branch that is weighed down with the amazing fruit of your love. Amen.